Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, mama.
Happy New Year. 2025.
Yeah. We're here.
Good God, we made it.
This is our year.
I know. And this is actually our day. I want to draw your attention to the fact that you and I are here. We've basically pulled our little life rafts to each other and touched hands for one day because you've just returned from being away, seeing your family, and I leave tomorrow to see mine. To Michelangelo, two little fingers almost touching.
No, it is the holding space.
It's the holding space.
It's the holding the tip of the finger.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That is special.
It is.
Are you doing dry Jan? Sorry, that's a sharp pivot, but it's all
certainly
I've been
not.
About.
I will be drinking. I will. Nope. Are you?
No, but I've been reading some really horrible stuff
about drinking.
Yeah,
it's super bad
women.
For us.
No,
yeah it's super bad for bad. Us.
For us specifically.
Us specifically.
More than two large glasses of wine constitutes binge drinking for women.
Yeah.
And more than that, a week has irrevocable effects on your liver.
Yeah,
it's fucked.
And like
basically.
Cancer yes. Markers.
Because I told you, you know about my gin.
Your
movement.
Gin. Yeah, no gin.
The gin was because of my like emotional come down. Yeah. I just was having the worst emotional hangover after a gin day, a gin night on the town, and now I'm just like, fuck. Is anything good?
I don't know.
But then it's like I look at these goddamn women. On the Real Housewives of any major
of any
metropolitan city.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how are you guys putting vodka in your coffee and just laughing the day away?
I know. No, I think also some of this, I mean, it is a Russian roulette. It's like the people who smoke for 30 years and never get lung cancer.
Yeah, so
and then the people that smoked for like a random year in college. And
But I think that Russian roulette is like generational. Like, I
Certainly.
Think it was like... The boomers and the Gen X were like, okay, we can have two bowls of wine at lunch, us, but
yeah.
You guys.
One Riesling and you're out of here. One crisp glass of Riesling.
No, literally like each fetus of each generation was like, I can take a little bit less.
I know.
Until I can take none at all.
Well, there are people walking around right now, happy as can be, who were in the womb where their moms were like railing lines of Coke.
I know. Courtney Love. Like,
yeah.
I mean, allegedly,
yeah.
But famously, according to
a profile,
one famous profile,
mm-hmm.
You know, doing the old H.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I know.
But famously. Yeah.
It's true. So it's, you know, the human body is resilient.
I know, but I'm getting less and less resilient.
Oh, certainly.
It's the hangovers are hitting me harder than ever before.
Yeah.
I am like shaking, gasping for air.
No, I know. I have like vertigo. I look like those women in the 50s where I'm like holding my head going like, I just got to lay down for a couple minutes.
Yeah. With what is it? The ice pack?
Yeah, the ice. The peas on the head.
The peas on the head.
I know.
Like looking at my cats, like resenting them for their energy.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. Imagine if those were little tots crawling on the floor.
Oh, don't
can't even can't care for a soul right now.
Yeah, like mommy needs her space.
Yeah,
mommy needs her alone time.
Yeah. Oh my God, what's inspiring you?
Oh God, do you actually have one?
I do.
Okay, yay.
I do, and it's actually Real Housewives related.
Stop.
I've started Real Housewives of New York City.
I was gonna ask because I've been thinking about it.
Oh my God. And
have you ever watched before?
I have watched bits and pieces, but I really haven't watched in earnest.
Are you starting from the beginning?
I started not at the beginning, but I intend to go back.
Okay.
I started on an episode. It was a Christmas episode. Turned it on as we decorated gingerbread houses. Me and my beautiful roommates who are Real Housewives aficionados. And they just know everything. They know all the good episodes. It was an episode where they went to the Berkshires to do like a murder mystery party for Christmas. And
incredible.
It was incredible. And it is something very specific that I feel inspired by. Is that those women are not afraid to step out with no glam. They are so much more comfortable with their faces, their bodies, their under eye bags than Beverly Hills, then Salt Lake City, really? Then Miami. My God, those women are in full glam. And New York, I was moved completely watching all of them like gather together in the morning after drinking in excess all night, like falling down in the bushes drinking and just showing up as they are.
I've never seen that on a franchise.
No. They're so, and I think it's because they're like East Coast bitches. Like they're real. They're less concerned about, you know, I mean, Beverly Hills, it's a point of contention always. Of like, are we bringing glam to Rome? Like, are we going to bring glam? Who's bringing glam? New York, they're showing up as is. They get off a plane in the episode that I watched. Bethany has the flu and was like, and they're talking about how she was shitting herself the entire flight. And none of them are wearing any makeup. They all look like shit. They're traveling in like actual sweats and travel clothes. They look bad. There's stains on their shirts.
I feel like this is quite a divisive topic because a lot of people watch Housewives for the aspirational aspect of it, but you watch it for the relatability.
Yeah.
You're like, I am them.
Those are my peers. Those are my peers.
This is kind of my inspiration too, because I was having a conversation yesterday with my friend who's a financial advisor, and I know I've raised this to you before, so I this is repetitive, but
I'm also realizing I only listened to half the voice note that you sent me.
Okay.
So I didn't get through the whole thing.
Isn't this so funny that I sent this to you as a voice note just out of the blue?
Yeah.
I made you listen to like a pre-podcast of just like, here's what happened to me today.
No, I love your voice notes. You're a really good voice note giver. I want you to know that. That was on the list of my possible inspirations, was going to be how I cling to the phone. I'm shaking listening to your voice notes. You always apologize. 3+ minutes, you're going so sorry. It's
yes,
so
I
long.
Do apologize.
Never apologize. I'm looking for 5+ from here on out. 5+ at least.
I am mortified by the fact I'm at 3:30 and I'm still talking. It's like, bitch, rein it in.
Rein it in.
Be concise.
We say on our hour-long podcast. It's like, shut up.
No, I really do think of the make mics more expensive all the time. I think about that with us.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm like, in what world did we think we were the special ones?
And sometimes we really prove ourselves. We kind of like, we give the people what they ask for, and then sometimes we really just evolve into talking about Shawn Mendes.
Don't look in the mirror too closely.
No,
you will see the large pores.
Yeah,
and it's not a pretty sight.
No.
But no, I say you this voice note. So I was talking to my friend who's a financial advisor, and she was telling me about a client who she was really excited about because she was like, okay, this is going to be a really big fish for me. Was a client who is really high up at a law firm and was on a salary of $6 million a year.
Wow.
$6
million oh my God.
A year. Influencer wife, probably on like 200K. He's in his mid-40s. She's in her mid-20s. Dream life, I guess, like house in Brooklyn, drives a beautiful car, like the whole package. And she was like, okay, well, looking at the financials from just like top level, we're probably at maybe like $1 million retirement portfolio, just retirement alone. And then obviously additional assets of like the house, the holiday home, what have you, property portfolio, all of the things. When she looked under the hood, to use her words, it was a very different story. Their totaled assets were at $300K. Now, most people, like people with, I would say, like people on like a $130K salary who've been working for, I don't know, 10 years and now at that salary of $130K will have maybe $100K in their 401K. So if you think that in total, this person in their mid-40s with a $6 million salary has $300,000 in total assets. No house, no further retirement, $300K total assets after working for 25 years.
Whoa.
That's 401K, that's Roth IRA, that's literally everything. And she had to say to them, you are one bad day away from losing everything. That's their emergency savings, that's their retirement, total
everything
assets.
That's not like in use right now.
Right. So I was like, okay, then where is their money going? And she was like, oh, they're spending like 40 to 60 grand a month.
Oh my God, lifestyle creep.
Lifestyle creep.
Lifestyle, which I mean, I'm sure we've talked about before and we have to talk about again.
I don't think we've ever spoken about it, but that is something I deeply fear.
Yeah.
You know that?
Oh yeah. It's something I participated in.
Back in the day.
Well, I had one good year and then I rearranged my life
according to
that one good year.
You're like, I'm getting engaged. I'm getting a dog.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, okay, I'll never have to worry for anything again. And I don't regret it. I did learn a huge lesson, but yeah. it comes out of nowhere where it's a bunch of small decisions.
That's so true.
And they add up to, my God, I mean, yeah, they add up to whatever that fella's experiencing.
I mean, this is the extreme side though.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I mean, $6 million a year.
And $40,000. What would you spend $40,000 on a month?
Well, so that's what kind of I was asking. And yeah. It is all the things. I mean, it's the rent, first of all, because yeah. I don't own, which in and of itself is wild.
Yeah.
So it's the rent. It's the car payments mm-hmm. because they don't own. Come on.
Yeah. It's dinners.
It's the dinners. I mean, New York City.
Yeah.
It's the clothes. It's the beauty treatments.
Yeah.
It's all of it. It's,
yeah.
It's just, I mean, it just goes. The money can just go like that. Drinks, like alcohol. Yeah. I mean, if you just put your card down, you know, 4 nights a week on a couple dinners, that's it. That's it done.
Yeah.
You know, if you take 5 friends out for a dinner twice a week, that's $6,000, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In New York, 100%.
A little Carbone.
A little Nobu here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been seeing, I'm me on an absolute tangent about money, just this rise of kids on TikTok, like 22-year-old kids. I also sent you this. Just being like, I am in like $300,000 credit card debt.
Yes. Yeah. No, they need to take their credit cards. They need to make them illegal. It's insane what they've done.
And did you see what they're spending on?
What?
So 3 nights a week, dinners at Nobu. Going to Balenciaga and just like
buying stuff,
buying shit. And these are kids that are content creators. So they're bringing in $30,000 a month, which is an enormous amount for someone who's like 22.
Yeah.
But they are spending that much, getting into just like enormous debt. It's like, what a way to start the year. I'm like, oh, what? Financial health.
Yeah. Have you thought about it? Drinking and financial health. We are hitting the hard topics now.
I'm not finished.
No, of course. Well, because a 30% APR, I don't think people understand how quickly that can add up. Oh. It's your 10,000 is 20,000 in 2 days.
Then I was like, okay, so talk to me. Like, do you watch Real Housewives? My financial advisor friend.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, of course.
Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous.
I'm not dumb, am I?
I'm not dumb. And I was like, so what are these ladies doing? Because that is so much money that I'm seeing on my screen.
Yeah.
And how are they pulling it off? And she was like, oh, they'll be in massive amounts of debt. Because I was like, how are they actually finding that many rich women? It must be so tough.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, so many of those women need the salary of the show. And she was like, what's fascinating about Real Housewives of New York specifically is like Jenna Lyons rolled up in a Bentley and all these women were like, oh, the Bentley. And it turns out she'd had it rented for the week.
Yeah.
Or her having her big stoop sale to pay for dental work. It's stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I think about Erica Jane. Obviously, she lost all her money over Tom Girardi's, you know, embezzlement.
Yeah.
And it's like, where is she at right now financially? I'm just like fascinated by this stuff.
I think debt. I think.
Just massive debt.
Yeah. And I think you can also tell. It's so interesting between the franchises, the difference in wealth level and generational wealth versus you have like Teddy Mellencamp, who has inherited wealth and who is like the daughter of John Mellencamp, like doing fine.
Yeah.
Doing totally fine. And then you have some of the girls on Salt Lake City that have these big McMansions, but like they are not rich like Teddy Mellencamp is rich.
No.
They're not rich. Like,
but then someone like Sutton Strack, and I'm sorry, we're now deep we're deep into the vortex now. But she gets $300,000 a month in spousal support.
Yeah.
Do you think that's real or are they lying?
I don't know. That's so hard to say because that could have been a planted story.
No, she said it.
Yes, right.
She said it live on like Watch What Happens Live or something.
I mean, then I believe it maybe. Mm. I believe it. They're almost funny, some of the like lore of how these women got rich. Like in the new season of Beverly Hills, there's the Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah.
And the reason that she is unbelievably rich is because her ex-husband created The Simpsons. In their divorce settlement, she got like a small percentage of The Simpsons.
It's so crazy.
And continues to live off of that because the show has gone on for 117 seasons. It's just like, it's luck. And it's also, they've pulled the wool over our eyes for sure.
I mean, it is kind of depressing how many of them have married into the money.
I know.
And then walked away with it in divorce. Like it's just.
Yeah. Oh. I know.
But this woman is self-made.
And she's about to be married.
Oh. Wow. I mean, that is why we're covering her today, because she is at the top of the news cycle and no one else seems to be apart from Blake Lively.
I know.
And Justin Baldoni, who we've already done. Should we talk about that just really quickly? Since you've done so much research and work into it.
I know, I really have. I took it upon myself over the holiday to really just... Well, mostly because I actually got questions from friends being like, wait, what's going on? And yeah. I was like, now I have to read an 80-page report, legal document.
I have to. For free?
No, for $4 on the Patreon.
Oh, you're right, right. Please yeah. sign up to the Patreon.
And I've put a little explainer there for anyone that's confused. But I also think so much more is about to come out. This is the thing. It's like, we know half of everything. And then we'll see if we get a full picture. But... it's this very confusing, very contrived. I mean, they just both seem awful and I don't know how this is going to end.
What was your take after reading her allegations?
I mean, that he is awful. Like and that is also his reputation. I haven't heard that he's like an amazing guy outside of this. So that he's awful and that he certainly did things to make her uncomfortable, that he definitely doesn't like women. I also think that there is a part of this, there's like the part of this that is truly like, you know, his comments about consent, his comments about like her body, like all of that. It's sort of like no one would accept that and no one will accept that. And then there's a part of this that is just truly like a workplace conflict.
Yeah.
It's like a true.
Yeah. Like a creative clash.
Yeah. A creative clash, which happens all the time. So it's interesting because there are just many levels to this.
Yeah. I wonder.
Where are you at?
Where am I at?
Yeah.
Now just reading like his texts, reading the screenshots from his end.
Yeah.
I mean, she also seems terrible. Like it's like seems on both sides, truly.
I mean, she was married on a plantation. So this is also the thing. It's like we are not here to evangelize anyone.
Yes.
Of like, they're perfect. How dare something happen?
Right. We also did an episode on Blake Lively, which you can go back and listen to. And I mean, we're not here to say that no one's experienced any adversity, but if there was someone who has never experienced any adversity or close to it, it seems to be her. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to ever take teams with people, but I'm team LM, Leighton Meester.
Leighton Meester. Oh my God.
Because those two women famously never spoke on the set of Gossip Girl. And that stays with me.
Wait, are you serious? Yeah. Why don't I know this?
Yep.
I feel that's a huge blind spot.
Yes.
Oh, good God.
Yeah. And I hear nothing but wonderful things about her.
Yeah.
And she's married to a wonderful man.
I know. So. And they're very happy.
Mm-hmm. So it's like all these kind of things are like in the mix. I like in coloring my view.
Of course.
But we don't know. We weren't there. We don't know what's going on.
No, and no one should ever be made to feel uncomfortable in their place of work.
Of course.
It's like so much of this is just like
basic. And there were like, I don't know, there were certain things, not to cut you off, there were certain things that like he had direct rebuttal to. I mean, like the thing of like entering her trailer when she was breastfeeding and then there were the texts where she was literally like, come in, I'm just pumping.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that.
Yeah,
it was
like,
okay, wait, what? This is actually he said, she said. I don't know. Like who?
It is such a classic case.
It's a classic case.
She said.
And he said, it's like, we've got a text here. We've got a text there.
Yeah.
Who said what?
Who said what?
Yeah. Who's got the right text?
But
why this feels like very personal to me is I know one of the people named in the lawsuits and have worked with her personally, Melissa Nathan. I worked with her years ago when she was the crisis publicist for Drake.
Mm-hmm.
She was representing him and Sophie Brousseau, who was his baby mama. I don't know how much of this is off record and if I'm like crossing any ethical boundaries here. I kind of don't care anymore. I'm like, am
That's
I even
fine.
A journalist anymore? I don't really care.
Yeah.
But she was representing Sophie Brousseau after she was outed by Pusha T as Drake's secret baby mama. And they had their child together, Adonis, their son. And basically she was trying to like rehabilitate Drake's image and Sophie's image and wanted a profile out about Sophie. And I ended up interviewing Sophie with the help of Melissa Nathan, who was like coordinating the whole thing. Sophie is a French painter, by the way, but she was also like a video vixen, very curvaceous and sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very like...
sounds cool as hell.
Yeah, like very hot.
Yeah.
TM. But, and like lovely. But it never ran. It was like, I sold to Vanity Fair, but it never ran because she like literally couldn't mention Drake in like any way. And like, that was obviously all they were in it for. But Melissa Nathan was like a tough cookie. I remember that. Like, I would be on a press trip in Abu Dhabi and she'd call me at my hotel, like at all hours. I would get random emails, no subject, like, call me now, like kind of thing. It was like quite a scary person to deal with. And you could definitely see how she like gets shit done and is like one of the best in the business. And I don't know, the things I've heard from my close publicist friends and people who have any experience in crisis PR is that this is a very classic case. Like the way that he hired like a crisis publicist is kind of how a lot of people come to crisis PR, of like, I think something might go down. I'm being like locked out of premieres. I'm being like, there's some wheeling and dealing going on behind my back and I feel it, or I know it's happening and I'm just trying to get ahead of it, or I'm trying to be reactive. And so I'm going to take a step. And not often do talent even know what's kind of happening. It's usually their personal PR is working with the crisis publicist.
Yeah.
So they oftentimes don't know what's going on, or they may be given like an overall vibe of the strategy and then they're like, okay. So it's, yeah, it is. It does make sense that the crisis publicist would be named in a suit like this, if it's like a smear campaign suit, if it's a mission suit.
Most of the texts are theirs.
Yes.
Most of the texts that were subpoenaed, which like there are thousands, obviously, like not all of them we have access to, but it was mostly them.
Yeah.
The publicists, you know, doing their work, working away in the shadows, which is their job.
I know. But LOL, to have publicists come forward into the light is really funny for us.
Yeah.
Because like it's only we get to see that kind of stuff.
I know. Oh my God.
Tis like for me to see a name like Melissa Nathan, like in the New York Times. Yeah. Like, it's just so bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It really is. Man, everyone can be everywhere. Like it's like you never know where people are going to pop back up.
I know. How scary.
It's really a lesson. It's like stay on good sides wherever you can.
I know.
Because anything may happen.
Meanwhile, us being like, I haven't heard great things about Ryan Reynolds.
I know. I mean, like, 5 years Love time. Was on drugs.
5 years time, Courtney Love is like, my God. The queen of the US.
I know. No.
The head of Spotify.
The head of Spotify and the head of armed defense in the US. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, we need to be far more careful.
I know. We're really just out here talking shit in this living room.
I know.
But speaking of
Dua Lipa.
Actually, the queen of Spotify.
Yeah.
Dua Lipa, actually, she is. I mean, she really streams. That girl streams.
She streams.
She does anything.
Yeah.
This profile came out exactly 1 year ago. Can you believe that?
Wow.
I know. Isn't that kind of cute?
That's really cute. Great pick.
Thank you. Oh my God. I love a compliment.
Wait, what?
January 16th. Okay, we're a little bit early. But January 16th, 2024, Rolling Stone, baby.
Wow.
Dua Lipa is done being a mystery. The wildly ambitious pop star is embracing freedom and fun, both in her life and on her upcoming album. This was Radical Optimism. As she kicks off a new era, she lets us into her dreams, her anxieties, and what she wants to stand for. I actually found this profile very good, very interesting.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be so bland, and it was better than I thought.
Yeah. I love this writer, Brittany Spanos.
Oh, Brittany Spanos.
Yeah.
She's good.
It's one of the, and I feel this way. There actually are really like not that many where it's like an instant, like must read, have to click.
100%.
Have to know what's going on here.
Yep. Yep. So she, along with like Rob Sheffield, who's another one at Rolling Stone, who we just love, is very, very good and kind of one of the shining stars at the outlet. She's a senior writer and does a ton of in-depth coverage of pop music and teen culture, internet phenomena type of stuff. But she has been there for 9 years and has done cover stories with like Adele, Harry Styles, Cardi B. She also co-hosts the podcast Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs with Rob Sheffield. And she as well serves as adjunct instructor at NYU's Tisch School of Arts.
Oh,
so she's really killing it.
So cool.
I know. Try not to be depressed by that little bio.
Well, 9 years is a lifetime to work at a magazine. I've like never met anybody who's worked at a magazine for
you
9 years.
Like, that's really old as fuck.
No.
So just.
No, it's a testament to how that things can be good sometimes.
That's geriatric in media terms. No, it's amazing. And I, you know, obviously 2024 was recent history, but I did pull up a January 2024 pop culture iconic moment, which was the Golden Globes where Selena and Taylor Swift and fucking Miles Teller's wife.
Oh my God. The photos.
Were like whispering together.
The whispering. Of course.
What's her name?
Kaylee Teller.
We're like whispering together. I think about Timothée Chalamet and Kylie Jenner, like right. like debuting together.
All the lip readers came out. To
That's
be like,
right.
This is what they're saying.
And like she was like, he wouldn't take a photo with me. I like asked for a photo. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yes. You wrote about it on the Patreon,
yes.
I want to say.
Yes.
Another reason to subscribe. Just
my
saying.
God. Yeah.
But it like sparks like widespread speculation online of like, what are these girls saying? What are
yeah.
they, like, you know?
Gossip.
Yeah.
Gossip at the Golden Globes.
Exactly. So that was a big
yeah,
moment.
That was big.
January 2024. But a lot was happening for Dua Lipa at this time. Argyle was about to come out. And Argyle did not do well.
No.
33% on Rotten Tomatoes. A critic described it as one of the worst movies I've ever seen and a stunningly awful waste of talent. And the director responded, "What have I done to offend these people?" And it's a fun feel-good movie, or I thought it was a fun feel-good movie.
No. Oh God, yeah, she was blonde in this.
Oh, right? In our girl, like yes, comedy. Yes, it was a spy comedy. Yes, yes, yes.
I have to tell you something.
What?
My dandruff is back in a big way.
No.
I know. I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, I have something to share with you that may help. Do you remember when my dandruff came back and I tried everything but using a dandruff product? Like, I even got those, like, towel headband things to wash my face because I assumed it was my cleanser. Like, I just did everything but go to the source, which is, I gotta say, Noomi's Dandruff Defense. Dude, it is so good. It's light. It's like you leave, your hair is clean, but it doesn't feel weighed down the way that some shampoos and conditioners does. But it also doesn't strip it of its natural oils. I understand that's a lot for it to achieve, but it really pulls it off.
No, and I have heard that to get rid of dandruff, it has to be antibacterial, antifungal. And I know those words obviously don't sound sexy, but the results certainly are.
No, it's incredible. I mean, this dandruff shampoo and conditioner are packed with amino acids. They enhance shine, protect hair from all environmental stresses, which is so clutch, especially if you live in like a very, very dry environment. You kind of just need, summer sun, winter cold, you name it. You just kind of need that extra help. And it has just like the formula is amazing. It is lightweight. It doesn't like bog your hair down, but at the same time, it's shiny, voluminous. It is incredible. There's argan and tea tree oil that soothes the scalp. You know, it's scalp first all the way. Everything starts with the scalp.
Everything when I tell you. Okay, how do I get it? I need it.
Okay, you can go straight to numehair.com. That's numehair.com. And if you want a little discount, put the code UNCOVER at checkout. That's UNCOVER, UNCOVER at checkout for 15% off. And honestly, Ivana, while you're there, I know I'm keeping you for so long, but their hair straightener, $100 and incredible. The best one I've ever used. And I've used a lot. As you know, my hair is perpetually straight. I will not live any other way. So I cannot recommend this brand enough. I absolutely love it. And the product itself, Dandruff Defense shampoo and conditioner, dude, you got to get on it immediately.
Okay. It's time to be flake free. I'm ready to go.
Numehair.com, 15% off with the code UNCOVER. Get on it, baby. Flake free. This profile came out before Radical Optimism, but that was also kind of had a lukewarm reception. It was awarded 6.6 out of 10 from Pitchfork, which is actually higher than I remember. And they noted that it had interesting ideas, but a surprisingly low hit rate, which I related to. There felt like no big moments.
Yeah.
Houdini was like the big takeaway. And even that kind of fell flat, in my opinion. Like it was really cute, but yeah, it was not like a banger. The same way that Future Nostalgia just felt like banger, 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 banger. Yeah. Like yeah, you just wanted
like,
to listen.
Please play it.
Yeah, please play it. And play it all the way through.
Yeah.
Whereas like Radical Optimism was like, okay, like it's not a bad album by any yeah, stretch.
And it's also not like a like, oh, and we're going so far in another direction now. Like here's Dua Lipa's country album.
Right. And that is what we learned in this profile really frustrated her. Like she was really disappointed that the response was kind of like, oh, another disco record, because she was trying to do something way different. Mm. And people just went, oh, it's more Dua Lipa being Dua Lipa.
That would be frustrating.
I know. I did actually see her last year perform live in Times Square.
Oh my God.
Which she posted in her little photo dump of the year. Her like, 2024, you were so good to me. And it was go, go, give us nothing. I hate to say it. It was.
I know.
She kind of showed up. She did like three songs and it was like, okay. I mean, to be fair, it was raining and it was crowded and no one knew the words to the songs because like the album had just come out.
Oh,
and,
Jesus.
But it was kind of just like, what is happening here? And I don't know. There's been some like insider rumblings that maybe it was her change in management, which we learn about in this profile as well. You know, she signed with her dad, which is an interesting choice. I don't know, something didn't seem to work, which is strange because as we also learn in the story, she had all the talent in the world helping to write this project. So yeah. Without further ado, should we get into it?
Dive in.
Dive in. Okay. She says, I'm literally getting thrown into life right now. Dua Lipa is thinking about her Saturn return as she says this. At 28, she's deep in it right now. But the astrology-loving star had been anticipating the foreboding planetary event for a while. It's a cosmic coming of age, usually when people are at the cusp of 30, marked by tons of transitions and transformations and upheaval. Lipa, who's about to start an entirely new chapter in her career, is feeling it all. It drags you by your feet, Lipa says in her North London lilt. I thought 28 was going to be so cute.
I stand here reading this as a 28-year-old.
I was going to ask. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I get it totally.
Yeah.
Transformation, transition, upheaval. Name of the game right now.
Yeah.
Certainly.
For sure. 27, I think, through 30 is that.
Yeah. I think that there's no other way to do it also. And now I've had some guilt that I've recently come to terms with, that when I was like 23, 24, I had friends that were 27, 28, 29 that were like in the pits of hell. And I remember being like, Jesus.
You should have it all together.
It feels a little bit like I have it maybe even slightly more together than you. Like, oh my God, you are really falling down the hill right now. And it took a tumble myself. It took when I took a tumble myself to really understand like, oh, okay, this is what they were going through. I understand. Because they were all like, I need to quit my job right fucking now. And I was like, why? Yeah. Why? Oh my God.
Oh my God. I think I owe some people some apologies.
I've just like, I didn't understand. I didn't know what was happening with you. I just thought that it was like, you know, a one-off case of like someone who was like really stressed out for no reason or like seemed to like want to change everything suddenly overnight because they were strange.
Well, they felt like no older age as well than
29. The old 30, so young, unbelievably young.
Also, I do want to say that I stayed true to my word and I did write the caption. I'm sure you saw it. Another Christmas, still no rain.
I know.
And
it was so fucking funny.
Ivana?
The response, I know.
Okay, first of all, I will say that my mother was like, I hate it. I hate that.
Of course.
Because obviously she thought, well, you're jinxing that for yourself forever now.
Oh my God.
Chris was like, it's funny, do it, whatever. Yeah. But as soon as I posted it, everyone in my life got engaged within the next 2 days.
Of course. Well, because it's the month for it.
I saw so many bended knees and I thought, this is hilarious. I could not have done this any later.
Yeah.
Like, had I done it maybe 2 hours later,
oh,
it would have seemed like I was taking actual shots. Like, I took out an AK-47 and just went.
Yeah.
And everyone in my life.
Well, it's like you posting the fun pics from New Orleans like 2 days before the election. It's like you could not have done it.
The terrorist attack on New Orleans.
I know. Driving through Bourbon Street. It. I know. It like actually made me sick. It made me sick to see.
I mean that we were there 2 months ago.
2 months ago. Less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Back
but,
to
it. But Dua Lipa is not in New Orleans right now. She is in Los Angeles and she is at Jelena, which is a very popular Venice spot.
I've been. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, everyone really loves tasty. It. Can't get a table there. My God. But she is in an empty Jelena, which that never happens. So I'm sure she pulled some strings. She is wearing a tweed car coat, a t-shirt, jeans and sunglasses. And her hair is dyed a deep mulled wine red, which you'll notice it has now gone back to black.
Yeah.
I prefer it.
Me too.
Remember when I went on my full ragey rant about how it was like always like a must curl and it was that box dye red. And I was like, pick a lane.
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
I think it really her natural hair really suits her.
It suits her so much.
Yeah, it's just it's perfect.
Yeah, it's really really good. I think this would have been lovely. I'm looking at the cover. I'm sorry, I goes. I'm just. No, of course. I think this would have been lovely if it was really coiffed. Yeah. Always really like styled, really straight, or like really like rolled out totals, totally. Or like. But the fact that it was always kind of like fucked up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's slightly jet lagged today. She has just flown in from London, and the Grammys nominations have just come out. So she's also like really excited. It's like there's a lot going on. Her Barbie hit Dance the Night is up for 2 awards, including Song of the Year. And she celebrated by going to her friend's DJ set. So she's like, was a little bit hungover when all that happened. But it's been a big year. I mean, celebrations, her highly anticipated 3rd album is due. Everything's kind of coming. And amid it all, she's parted ways with her management firm that has represented her for a decade, literally since she was signed.
That is crazy.
That is so crazy.
I know.
And I didn't even know this. She bought the rights back to her music. I don't know how she managed to do that either. Like Taylor Swift starting that movement.
Yeah.
They've got to put in like some sort of process now to prevent artists from just buying their music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. But she is plotting. I think this is the big takeaway now. Like she at 28 is being like, what do I want to do? And that is investing in Service 95, which is her newsletter. Don't give me that look.
I'm sorry.
Keep your eyes up here. Don't roll them.
Straight forward.
Her newsletter come like, I guess, editorial platform.
Yeah, it's like a book club,
but also has like recipes.
And she interviews people. Like she interviewed Patti Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also like a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little.
It's kind of like, you know, I don't know. A Dua Lipa project.
Yeah, for sure. And her like acting roles, she wants to start a production company. She has like a lot of different things going. And she says, I'm being thrown into learning lessons of resilience, lessons of maybe not having to be so strong all the time and being okay with that. I don't know. I'm learning so much about myself. Brittany writes, Dua Lipa may have already been more resilient than she realized. Look no further than her own origin story. At 15, she famously persuaded her family to let her leave Kosovo and move back to London, where she was born, completely alone. She finished school, passed her A-levels, and began waiting tables and modeling while seeking out a team and a label to get her music career off the ground. And then before she turned 20, she was signed. So I remember when she came to New York for the first time, she walked into Spotify on kind of like a meet and greet tip. This must have been like 2016, 2017, because I was just in New York. And she met with a friend of mine who worked with Spotify, and he was like, she immediate star. And they were seeing so many young artists coming in.
Yeah.
And he remembers her so clearly, which I find really interesting.
Whoa.
Because I guess like, I mean, she has a beautiful voice. She is really talented, but like she does have it. And that is so palpable.
The gay men in my life showed me Dua Lipa and was like, have you heard of this girl? And
yeah.
I was like, no. And they were like, she can't dance, but she's talented and like, forgive her. And I remember that being the initial pitch.
Yeah, there's something about her. And I remember very early on, she got put up in the kind of echelon with, I mean, maybe not the Gagas, but like she was up there. It was like, okay, who are your icons? And
yeah.
It was like Dua Lipa was a valid kind of offering. If you were like, who do you love? What pop girlies do you love? It was like, oh, I love Lana Del Rey and I love Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
And like that was valid.
I know. She is so beautiful.
That is the other thing.
She is perfect looking.
Do you think?
I do. I'm like, I'm struck by her.
There is something very like ordinary about her too.
Yes.
I would say.
Yeah.
Like she's not like super, super skinny.
No.
And she is not blonde with blue eyes and huge tits.
Yeah. Like, where you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's something that's very like girl next door accessible.
Yes. It's an attainable kind of beauty.
And I think in the same way of Selena Gomez, like what I've always said about Selena Gomez is like, it's an ambiguous beauty where she could be Mexican, she could be Spanish, she could be Israeli, she could be.
Yeah.
She has a universal beauty. Like it appeals to everyone.
Yes. It's like grew up in Connecticut or the Gold Coast or wherever. Like
totally.
Yeah. Her story is like,
actually, try and pick a country where she's not from.
Japan.
Okay. God damn it.
No, but I know exactly what you mean. Do you know what I mean? It's like the majority of them, like Ukrainian. Like, she,
like we have a friend, Abby.
Yeah.
Who is like that.
Yeah, totally.
One you could pretty much take her anywhere.
Any language would come out of her mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And you're like, wow, yep. Brazilian.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, Portuguese. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, completely. Yeah. And I think there's something like so special about that. Like really like, it just hooks you.
It does.
It hooks you.
It really does.
I've only experienced that once where I felt like, oh my God, I'm from here in the Netherlands.
Oh my God, of course. Yeah. I experienced that in the Balkans, but it's from because I'm from there.
Yeah.
And that's where also Dua Lipa is from.
Yes.
My, all of my home countries border her home countries.
Oh my God. And we're going to get into that. I'm we're going to talk about some war.
Certainly.
Today.
Certainly.
And I'm going to need your knowledge.
Yeah. Of course.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
But she, what did we get up to?
I mean, she is like very impressive in that, like, yeah, you kind of started that her story, like she left at 15 from Kosovo and like made it on her own.
Yeah.
And then when she released her 2017 self-titled, she was like opening and playing festivals. Like she like did the grunt work.
What is so funny is that she opened for Troye Sivan originally and like how the tables have turned.
Yeah.
Like the just... she interviewed him on her podcast, so that's the first thing she said, and I think he was like lol. But she was nominated for best new artist at the Grammys like straight off the bat, and then in 2020 she released Future Nostalgia, and I remember there was a whole lot of back and forth about whether or not like it was gonna work because it was a dance pop album and we were in a pandemic, and they were like, we should push the release. I think it was released in like March.
Yeah.
And
I listened to it every day.
Climbing
the stairs in Silver Lake.
And she was like, we need this shit, we need it, and that we did.
Yeah,
which was fascinating. They describe it as a rebel yell for Dua Lipa. It became the unlikely soundtrack for millions of people during lockdown and made disco a ubiquitous trend in pop for the next few years.
Yeah.
With a warm, soulful voice mixed with her undeniable self-assuredness, Lipa became the pop diva ready to meet an uncertain moment. Britney, when I found this interesting, describes her as your favorite rock star's favorite pop star. Like Mick Jagger loves her. Elton John fucking loves her. I mean, you said she spoke to Patti Smith, which is true. And I am obsessed with this. Patti Smith like saw a photo of her in a chainmail dress and was like, you remind me of Joan of Arc.
No, that and also Trent Reznor saying that he found levitating so, quote, well-crafted, it made him tear up.
I'm levitating. Like,
yeah.
It takes you, moonlight, starlight, starlight takes you.
It's fascinating.
I mean.
Like, you cannot receive higher praise from this cast of characters.
I mean, it's actually crazy.
Yeah.
Because I heard levitating and I was like, it's a bit dry.
Yeah.
It's a bit dry.
And that's because you have no taste, no class.
I know. I honestly, I'm starting to question my taste because I did see Baby Girl and I thought, I was halfway through and I was like, I am actually struggling. I think I may have to leave.
No, that's okay. No, that totally tracks.
But then I read a comment deep in the comment section.
Oh no, oh no.
And it brought me back.
Okay.
May I read it to
please?
You? Okay.
Please do.
I'm going to find it.
Oh my God. Okay. I can't wait. I thought it was going to be a comment that like called you old. It's like, if you didn't like this movie, you're old and gross.
It was, I have to say, Nicole Kidman did an excellent job, but the plot was not it. Someone said it was the Temu version of 50 Shades of Grey, and I agree.
Yeah.
That spoke to me.
No, totally.
Because I was like halfway through and I was like, what is the story? The story is like, rich woman has affair, wants to be dominated, feels bad.
Yeah. Feels a lot of guilt over
it. Feels guilt over it. And then hot man prop.
Yeah. And it's like giving her what she wants. I found that scene, and not to spoilers, but like that he, when he's like, get on the ground, and then he kind of giggles.
Yeah.
I found it fascinating because it's like, this is not necessarily natural to him either. Like,
yes.
He's just like, his whole thing is that he can read people and give them what they want. And like, that's his magic.
It's he's like, a star.
Yeah. He's a star.
I mean, he was the hottest thing I've ever seen. I won't lie to you.
No.
It was the giggle and it's the hands. I mean, he has the best hands I've ever seen.
I agree. I,
just outrageous.
They're unmissable.
But I'll tell you one thing though. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, too much Nicole, too much wig.
Yes.
I'm absolutely need a break from Nicole.
I'm at my wit's end.
I'm at my wit's end with the wigs. I just need a break. I need you to take a hot minute. And it's not her fault. She signed on for a lot of projects that came out all at once. It's not her fault.
No.
But
she's good. She's good at all.
She's good. But would I have killed to see Demi Moore in that role? Would I have killed Ivana to see Demi Moore in that role?
Imagine. Because there is such a sensuality about Demi Moore, which is kind of what was missing. It's like,
yes,
I've heard that. It's like Harris, so sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Giving us
sex.
Imagine. Yeah. Demi Moore. Oh, my God.
And I think it's just having real hair that can be pulled.
Don't.
But it really shatters the illusion for me when I know with just a hard tug, this could all unravel.
I mean, what we would see.
The idea of her long, glossy hair flicking around like a horse's mane.
And she could pull off the CEO part. Like, that's a woman that has stature. That's a woman and power. And not everyone, you know, it's like, I think Catherine Hahn could do it, but like there are others that that it's like the part that would be hard to believe is that she is like the CEO, like the cold CEO of this like huge company.
Yeah.
But Demi Moore could have totally pulled that off.
I know.
Even, I mean, Anne Hathaway, something there, but yeah. Also maybe we saw her try.
No.
Yeah. Too theatery.
Yeah. But also like, I don't know, there's the analogy of the dogs. Sorry, we're getting deep in it now, but there's an analogy of where he like tames the dog. And like, was the dog a glossy black dog?
Yeah. It was like, it was a German Shepherd. I know. Perfect. It would have been perfect.
Perfect for Demi Moore.
I know.
Not for Wiggly Kidman.
No. Wiggly. It's true. No, because also you have to move with such carefulness when you are wearing a wig, and you can tell. It's like, have you ever seen someone like with Invisalign or braces and you're talking to them and nothing is being said? No one has mentioned the Invisalign, but you know that they know that you know.
Yeah.
And they're kind of trying to talk in a way that covers their teeth. And it's like, now you've just drawn my eye exactly where you don't want it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Secrets, it's like when you've been having a whole conversation and then someone's like, by the way, there's lipstick on your chin. And you're like, we went the whole way. Okay. Well, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
With that.
We're both embarrassed now. but back to Lipa.
I mean, interestingly, Dua Lipa gets the opposite critique. She gets the critique that she's too perfect.
Yeah.
And unserious. And that is a struggle for her. She lives her little life, she says. She likes to live her life, do her photo dumps, write her songs, and dip. She's not interested in being too controversial or do something just for a reaction. But this poise and disinterest in drama often leads people to cast her as the guarded, too perfect pop bot. Jokes and criticism, Britney writes, that she's not trying hard enough, not giving enough, have hurt her. In the middle of all this self-discovery, Lipa's been figuring out how to create more distance from all the noise around her. So she says it's always been easy with social media to get caught up in like a negative spiral or people being mean and like telling you what they think without ever really knowing you. But she's like, it's so far-fetched for people to think that you have feelings or that you get upset. And for me, I have to learn to take things with a pinch of salt. But she is getting really, really frustrated at this point with the vacation narrative.
Yeah. Vacanza queen.
The vacanza queen. Because she did seem to be kind of just endlessly abroad.
Yeah, just on a pontoon, like on the back of a pontoon at all times.
Just with a book, a mango.
An aquamarine bathing suit with a shell in the middle.
I feel like there was a moment where she did get really thin, like kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was just while she was on vacation at some point. And it was like, okay, we're a new person.
I also think that it came at the exact wrong time. It was like after everyone left the pandemic and everyone was like, don't you miss traveling? And we're just watching Dua Lipa live.
Yeah.
The dream.
And it was when everyone was at their fattest and most stationary.
Yeah. It's like we hated her. We hated her rightfully. I've seen some photos of myself.
Stop.
Yeah, you're right.
She bristles slightly, exhausted by how something so harmless has been getting picked apart. Of course I was going to fucking holiday and chill during the year that I was going to the studio and had some time off. As long as I'm doing my job, hitting my deadlines, and getting my shit done, then I will find a way to relax too. It's really work hard and play hard. Why not?
Really healthy mindset.
Why not?
She may be here... She may be around for decades to come because of that mindset.
Totally. Work hard, play hard.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm going to take a break. People are not saying that often enough. People are like, I will sleep and I'm dead.
She's one of the few people that I have unfollowed and refollowed so many times.
Oh my God.
She drives me crazy with her posting. And then at some point I'll be like, I need hair inspiration. I'm going to come back.
No, I know. For real. I've gone like an idiot to the hairdresser and said, can you make my hair look like Dua Lipa's hair?
Well, I just...
What can you do for me?
There were very few people, I feel like, in the public sphere with long hair.
I know.
And sometimes I'm just looking at my hair and I'm like, what are we doing today?
Hers is so perfectly undone.
Well, it's more like, am I going to do a half up, yeah, down situation? Okay. Then she's going to have to be the blueprint.
Yeah.
It's literally that. But she... But she is now changing her look, Brittany writes. Instead of like the glam sparkly bodysuits that she used to do, she's evoking that I don't give a fuckness of like Britpop acts like Oasis.
She's dressing like Oasis. She's in a baggy hoodie at all times.
She's evoking like sibling shirt rivalry, yeah, like Oasis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brotherly love.
Yeah.
She's like, this record feels a bit more raw. I want to capture the essence of youth and freedom and having fun and just letting things happen, like rolling with the punches. But, you know, Dua is still Dua. And even with her set in and return, serving up new lessons every day, you know, she's having to take things in stride. And I actually love this quote right here. This really like stuck with me. I wonder if you pulled this out as well. She's like, I'm trying to move with lightness. Like nothing is the end of the world. Whatever happens is exactly the way it's supposed to be.
I did. That one did jump out to me.
I thought that was really profound coming, yeah, from a 28-year-old.
Yeah,
we just had this whole conversation about Christmas break and how my parents have a tendency to catastrophize.
Yeah.
And how I actually intentionally had to be like, I'm moving with lightness.
I'm moving with lightness.
And everything is the way it's supposed to be and everything's going to work out.
Yeah.
And... nothing, like, what does she say? Nothing is the end of the world.
Nothing is the end of the world.
Yeah. And whereas, like, that telling me the total opposite, I had to actually extricate myself from that mindset.
Yeah.
And, man, I think that's the way. Just be like, nothing is the end of the world. Nothing, yeah, is the end of the world.
And also, everything is ongoing. It's like, this is not the end, mm-hmm, of anything. We're going to keep moving. The situation will change, will evolve. Time heals.
Yep.
Just, it's going to continue no matter what.
Yep.
And she seems to know that.
She's very chill here.
I wonder if she's in therapy.
She has to be.
Yeah.
She has to be.
Yeah.
And like listening to her, have you heard her podcast?
No.
Yeah. I would say it's not a, and I don't mean this as like an insult, but it's not like a dynamic conversation in that you just, and like, there's no kind of like ping ponging. It's like you don't bounce. It's like, if you would answer a question and then I would kind of take a deep pause and then say like, yes, and that's very interesting. Have you always felt like that? It's kind of like that.
You and I never do that.
No.
You and I are making statements at each other.
At all times. It's like that meme where it's like thinking about that time when instead of asking a question, I answered with an anecdote about myself. It's that.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's very like, it's just very like kind of composed and,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I completely understand what you're saying.
I'm sure there's an audience for it.
Yeah.
It's just not my type of content.
Well, it's interesting that she is in this era where she's like, I'm trying to be raw, and how different that is.
And
to people.
So the person that she is here, that Brittany describes her to be in the next kind of like few paragraphs, this is the part of Dua Lipa that people take issue with because it's kind of like too perfect. No,
are you going to talk about the description?
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. Would you like to get into it?
I would love to get into it. Because I agree. This is exactly, this, mm-hmm, is the thing. It's like she sort of moved from one to the other where, mm-hmm, it's like everyone was mad because she was on the catamarans with, mm-hmm, the fresh mango. And it's like, that's beautiful. And that's perfect.
Yep.
That's crystal clear waters. And then she's here now and she's in her home and she describes it so vividly. This is like, my hat's off to Brittany. She gives us everything.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like she must have taken photos with her iPhone. Cause I'm like, how do you remember this?
How do you remember? She said, she writes, walking into her house feels a little bit like stepping from a black and white landscape into full Technicolor. It might seem like a fortress from the outside, but like Lipa, the interior is sophisticated and inviting, full of thoughtfully curated decorations and cozy furniture. So some of the things she describes, she's got like, you know, these oversized couches. She's got a granite coffee table. Against one wall is a walnut cabinet accented with tchotchkes and a copy of Patti Smith's M Train.
A giant color wheel looms over her white record player, while on the same wall hangs a collage of the Muppets painted by the art collective Friends With You. On the bench below, a crate of records has an Oasis bootleg perched at the front, alongside a few artfully placed vintage books that include William A. Imboden's History of Hallucinogenic Botanicals, Narcotic Plants, and the screenplay for Paris, Texas.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So the reason why I think this is like difficult to take on is because if this is authentic, this is the coolest girl you have ever met.
Oh my God. To have a screenplay of Paris, Texas lying around.
If this is curated, this is the most boring person you know.
Yeah.
Who is doing the absolute most to seem like the most artful, sophisticated, give me another adjective.
No, I mean, just like, just fascinating.
Yeah, person. Fascinating.
And look, let me say.
When you walk into their room, it's like, can I shake you an extra dirty martini? And would you like to peruse my screenplay of Paris, Texas?
Yeah.
So it's like.
I'm off of wine. I'm only drinking Lillet right now. Can I make you.
Yeah.
Lillet, no ice. That's how the French drink
right,
it.
Right. I only have natural orange in the refrigerator. Yeah. Like, it's only one or the other.
No, I
There's
know.
No in between. So it terrifies me, this paragraph.
It does. This paragraph was haunting, and it has haunted me, and I've thought of it since. Because I can see it so clearly. And the thing is also, I think the thing about it that I don't like is the same thing I don't like about myself. You know, everything is a mirror. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of this.
Yep.
Pulling out a copy of Catcher in the Rye before a boy comes over.
It's up there on the shelf.
And it's bookmarked.
And oh my God.
I'm right in
the middle.
And
have I read it? No.
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 I know. We do this. We do this unconsciously.
Is she reading the History of Hallucinogenic Botanicals, Narcotic Plants? Or is she watching Real Housewives?
I know.
That is the question.
Yeah.
That is the question.
There has to be room for both. There has to be room for both.
But if there isn't visibility of both, then what is the authentic self?
Exactly. And that's,
you know?
And that's, I think, where she's often called out. And that's the critique of, I think, the latest album is like,
ooh,
it came out at a time, you know, it's like if you think of many of her peers, the pop girls, the Taylor Swifts, the even the Sabrina Carpenters, they are sort of, they are raw. Sabrina Carpenter's tweets, like, it's her being messy.
Yeah.
And it may be
and
calculated.
Same with Taylor.
Certainly. But they're giving us something that we wouldn't be able to glean on our own. And it's hard with Dua.
Yeah. She seems to kind of always be on even when she's not on. And that's very visible from her Instagram. Like, it's undone, but it's still perfectly curated. Like, those photo dumps are artfully messy.
This is hard on me to say, but I think also part of the problem is that she seems to have healthy boundaries. And I think that the public doesn't like that. The public isn't intrigued by a healthy boundary of like, she's like, I'm not going to give everything to you. And no. We don't like to hear that.
There's been a lot of commentary lately that it's like, Dua Lipa like doesn't chase the charts. She just like posts her little vacation dumps and like gets engaged to a hot boyfriend. And it's like, totally.
Yeah.
But then I also think there is an element of her that is like absolutely chasing the charts, but hasn't got there.
Yeah.
And like doesn't want to look like she is.
No, of course. You don't ever want to be striving. And I mean, even here when they're getting into her songwriting next, Britney brings up the sort of public and publicized breakup that she went through. And Dua Lipa is not going to comment on it.
The breakup was with Anwar Hadid.
Yes, of course. And now she's engaged to Callum Turner.
Yeah.
Let's set the record straight.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's kind of a quick, now that I really think about it, this was a year ago. I mean, and the breakup was even prior to this profile, obviously.
So the breakup was in 2021, but right now in 2024, she's on record saying, I'm single. So just so you know, they weren't officially together until I think like February or March 24. So to be engaged by end of year 24 is pretty wild.
Wow. Mm. Oh my God. Exciting. They are such a gorgeous couple. It makes me.
Totally.
It like, I want to scream into the heavens.
Yep.
So yeah, it's like even here, even when she's on the cusp of sort of revealing something, she's like, I'm not going to get into the romance. Like, you can listen to the music and there'll be little clues there.
Yeah.
And the clues all made their way there because she had this huge team. And she would basically, they describe this sort of evocative scene of her meeting with all her songwriters who it was like.
That iconic people.
Yeah. Yeah. They've worked with Adele. They've worked with Charlie XCX. They've worked with Carla and Polachek, and they all came sort of from different backgrounds. Like, one is like more ballads, one's more like electronica, one's folky pop. They all came together
And she would come to them basically at the end of a night, like, you know, she'd have a night out being single on the town and then come and like regale them with tales. And then they would make them into songs.
Right.
Which seems really fun.
Totally. And I think like this was the first time that she was like in a good enough place where she could talk about, I don't know, going through a breakup and being happy for someone else, reflecting on love in like a positive way and like a, you know, being introspective in a positive way. And I mean, it's interesting the way Britney writes about it too. It's like she was like, you know, there'd be dreamy mid-tempo tracks that would have, that would depict really tumultuous portraits of relationships ending. There's a line that is on one of her songs. It says, "We call it love, but hate it here. Did we really mean it when we said forever?" And that, like, I was listening to the album while reading this and it weirdly synced up. This line actually hit as I was reading it. And it was bizarre to hear it while, like, it was playing over the melody, because it was truly like,
yeah,
like you just
yeah.
couldn't believe that it wasn't more balladic, like it wasn't more, you mm-hmm. know, heart-wrenching music. It was just Dua Lipa being poppy, fun, dance floor bops. So it does make you wonder if, like, she's kind of longing to have a little bit more range emotionally in the melody, because her lyrics are kind of reflecting that. Or maybe she just thinks that this is her lane and she better stick to it. Yeah, I mean, like, she knows her place and she knows it's on the dance floor. She's like, I love being on the dance floor, being the first on the dance floor, even if no one else is dancing. And all her Britpop influences are kind of built around the dance floor. She references Noel Gallagher and she loves Blur, she loves Moby. And Britney kind of brings up a really interesting point here, which, again, hats off to Britney. She's doing an incredible job interviewing her.
Yeah.
Because she's like, all the British pop stars that you're referencing are men, and they haven't been very kind to female pop artists. What do you make of that? And she was like, well, I've never met any of them personally, but sometimes you really have to separate the art from the person. It's more the music element, the aspect of it that I'm really connected to. The way that some Brit pop artists have acted, the things they've done, they're obnoxious for sure. That's their whole thing. Dua's like, there's so much toxicity in the way people wanted their artists or their musicians. If they weren't like that, they would have been seen as boring. And I think that's such a bad way to see things. And there it is.
And there it is.
And there it is.
The defense, the veiled defense of oneself.
The veiled defense of the fact that she is just like one note, kind of.
And also just like she said vocally here, like, I don't want to be involved in anything controversial.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make any statements.
Mm-mm.
I am not, you know, at the front lines of anything.
No, I'm not. I'm not
here
gonna
to make my music.
I'm not
going
to be Britney Spears making out with Christina and fucking Madonna on the stage. I like don't need to do that.
No. Or
I'm
even
all good.
Like, you know, leading a like political movement in any way. Like, she's not trying to be an activist.
You say that, but she kind of does get a little bit activist-y here.
She does. She does.
Yeah.
Admittedly.
Yeah.
She absolutely does.
And that's in relation to like Palestine, basically.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just thought that was so revealing how she was like these guys were so destructive and so obnoxious and like bizarre because they thought that's what the public wanted of them. And she kind of absolves them in that way as well, which I find interesting.
I know. It is really interesting.
It takes all the onus off those men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so funny. But her her writing partners, what's his name? Someone Parker, what's his first name?
Not Chris.
From Tame Impala. Just says that working with her is wild because she's such a meticulous editor that she will rewrite and rewrite a verse. Like, her editing is just brutal.
And this, like, that meticulousness that you're describing of, like, the rewriting and the striving for perfection, she can sort of trace that back to when she was a kid. She used to run a blog called Dua Daily. She'd share style tips and recipes. She knows how to carry herself. And I do think that a lot of this, like, being, like, connected to war intrinsically, like, just having that in the background, having it affect your parents so deeply. Her mom was studying to be a lawyer. Her dad, they were both musicians. They were living in Kosovo when the war broke out in the 90s.
And the Bosnian War.
Yeah, the Bosnian War. You know, they went to the UK, which, I mean, everybody fled. That, you know, my friends growing up that I met, all of us, like all of our parents were refugees from the war in the 90s. A lot of my friends were Bosnian and they went to like South Africa. They went to Australia. They went, everyone just like left wherever they could. And tried to raise their kids outside of an active war zone, which makes a lot of sense to me. And my dad had been drafted and it was just like a brutal brutal, brutal, brutal time. And I mean, she takes a lot of inspiration from them. And when she was 11, she moved back to Kosovo, to Pristina. Brittany writes, it felt like heaven to Lipa, who got to stay out a little bit later and move more independently in the city streets, which she said were much safer than London's. And I remember, like, me and my friends romanticized so much this idea of, like, homecoming. We were all, like, obsessed because you had so much freedom there. Like, kids were out in the road. It was, like, nothing like life in America or, like, major cities elsewhere. It was truly, like, you know, I'm, like, out in the dirt roads chasing stray dogs around.
Well, even, like, when I moved to Italy when I was 16, I couldn't believe, like, drinking. Like,
yeah.
Just drinking in bars at being so young and just ordering, like, tequila shots and no IDs, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Just being in the club in a real way at, like, being that young is so crazy. It just was different rules in Europe.
Yeah, like, total freedom.
For sure.
And then I really do, it seems like this had, like, a big impact on her sense of self. She, similar to me, she said, maybe I thrive on being undermined, or maybe I thrive on people saying I can't do things. She says, for better or for worse, I throw myself into something so heavily to get it right and make it perfect, make it good.
Yeah, this is interesting. It, like, reminds me of something that cropped up earlier in the profile where she basically refers to the fact that she never has an immediate hit. Like, all her songs grow over time. Mm-hmm. They, like, take so long to get number one, and, like, either they, or they just don't ever get to number one, or, but they kind of, like, stick around, like, people will listen to them. And that is so interesting. And in the same breath, she, like, really cares about the response. She cares about what critics say. She cares about what the fan responses. And I think that's why she cared so much when people said, like, go girl, give us nothing. Like, that whole meme kind of took off. And that has been around. I mean, that has persisted for so long. We're now obviously 2025. It was 2018 when that came out. And
I can picture it in my head. Oh, her dancing, her, like, popping her hip out.
Their lackluster hip swiveling dance move. Yeah. And what is so interesting about it is that Dua Lipa brings it up here with the interview with Britney. Like, Britney doesn't, you know, venture it. Dua Lipa is like, yeah, I did find that really hurtful. It was really painful because I was finally getting to do something that I love to do, and I'm already being shut down. I just feel like I can't do anything right. And she was also like, I was being thrown around the world, lots of promos, lots of rehearsing, lots of everything. And I just didn't have any time to perfect anything.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I guess that's why the gays were like, to you, she can't dance.
I know. I also, we forget that sometimes celebrities see the memes.
I know.
We, you know, the internet is the internet and talks freely, but it's like, feels so silly to say, but it's like, these are people with feelings, and I can't believe she had her feelings hurt by this.
I know. And it's like, her algorithm will probably be Dua Lipa. Yeah. You know, like, it will be.
It will be. It will be.
I know. Man. And what's interesting is also when Houdini came out, there was a viral thread on X talking about how she is kind of a mystery with indiscernible personality traits, and she's kind of everywhere and nowhere. And she has to address this too here in this interview. She, like, takes the opportunity to say, I just think I'm British. I don't think I'm here to spill my guts on a talk show because it's going to be good for a news cycle or getting attention. As much as people think they know the people they support, I actually don't think they know anything about them anyway.
For sure, that's true.
Yeah.
We're being presented an image.
But I think that's kind of true with everything, everywhere, all at once,
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I don't think Ricardo knows anything about me, but he knows everything about me.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, Beatrice, of course, talking about her tailor.
Yes, of course, yes. Like, Ricardo knows I'm going to Australia. Ricardo knows my measurements.
Yeah.
Ricardo, like, knows what it is like to talk to me.
Yeah, he knows I got married.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
like, he doesn't know me at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's how it is.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that is the game. To, like, dance monkey dance on a talk show, that's part of it. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, it is. And it's what so many get wrong in the beginning. I mean, it's like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
You know who gets it so right and has got it so right for such a long time is Timothée Chalamet.
I know.
Continues to get it so right.
He knows.
Right.
And he owns. This is the thing, the difference between, like, the Camila Cabello,
the digital footprint.
The digital footprint.
Yeah.
He goes, original Barb. Like he,
yes.
It's like what could so easily.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when it first came out, he was like head in hands.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe people are seeing my like hip hop routine. And he owns it. He does the more interesting thing by saying like, yep, that was me. And yes. I gave it everything I had.
Totally. Laugh along.
Laugh along.
It's like two words and it does everything. Like, hire us as consultants and we'll give you those two words.
Yeah. Laugh along. Laugh along. It is the secret to so much.
Quizmos.
The Quizmos.
Oh my God.
I know. Long behind us now.
But she has a warning to younger artists. This is her advice. Pay attention early on, especially in the business side of things, she says. I don't think enough people tell young artists that. Everything feels so exciting in the beginning, and of course it is. But it's good to have the knowledge. Good to take care of yourself. I think that's true for everyone.
Good advice.
I think that's true for us.
Yeah. Read your contracts.
Literally read your contracts. I think that's true in a marriage.
Yeah.
If I've learned anything from Real Housewives, it's that.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Pay your own bills. Mm-hmm. Like, read the fine print.
Yeah. Yeah. It's essential. It really is.
Brittany writes, and I find this so interesting, that Dua Lipa brings up knowledge in quotation marks often. She understands the way the general public looks at her and other female pop stars, refusing to believe that they are more than their looks or their hits. I don't know if people believe that I like to read books or people believe that these conversations are my own, she says. She seems a little resigned, frustrated even, at how limiting that perception can feel. I think it's a thing of what people want from their pop stars, she says. They don't want you to be political. They don't want you to be smart. Not that I'm trying to prove myself in that way, but there is so much more to me than what I do. My existence is kind of political. The fact that I lived in London because my parents met from the war. I feel for people who have to leave their home. From my experience being in Kosovo and understanding what war does, no one really wants to leave their home. They do it for protection, to save their family, to look after people around them, that kind of thing, for a better life. So I feel close to it. And this is kind of how we get into her advocacy for the Palestinian people. I think she was really early to it, which is amazing. I mean, it was October 7th, 2023 when Hamas attacked Israel. And I mean, this was so close soon after, you know, that she is speaking on this.
Yeah, that is my hat's off to her. I retract my former statement because I agree.
Yes.
That's super brave. Political. No one did that.
Yeah. She was like, my feelings on displaced people are very real and raw. It is a difficult subject to speak about because it's so divisive. But there is a world where you can feel for all the lives being lost. And I have this to say, I don't condone what Hamas is doing. I feel so bad for every Israeli life lost. But at the moment, we have to look at how many lives have been lost in Gaza. Oh my God. And this was only 3 months in.
I know.
And the innocent civilians. There are just not enough world leaders that are taking a stand and speaking up about the humanitarian crisis that's happening, the humanitarian ceasefire that has to happen. And she says it's probably easy to be apolitical. And she's right. It is easy to be apolitical.
I know. But it's also like, it's so hard. My mom gave us like the Palestinian scarves when we were little and was like, I remember her talking to us about like what is going on in Palestine and how like you must advocate for the people who have been like living in oppression their whole lives. So it's hard, I think, when you come from war to not recognize the impact of war. It's like, you can't like forget. You can't be like, that would never happen. It's like, that has happened, that like family members lost. So it's not like a removed crisis. It's one that feels very personal.
Yeah, close to home.
Yeah.
Yep. They're now at the Chateau Marmont and smoking.
Yeah. Perfect.
She's like, do you smoke? And, she is obsessed with the chateau. She loves the spooky vibe. She loves that she can see people she knows, which, same. I love running into people I know. Chateau
Marmont. We went there for your birthday.
She is just like jetting all around the world. She'll be off to Tokyo, then go back to London. She'll return to LA to promote Barbie, go to New York for a couple of times. She's going to fit in a girl's trip to Copenhagen because, of course. End of the year, she's in India with her family, and she compares pop stardom to a hamster wheel and has no idea like where her future is going to take her. She's like, you make the album, you promote it, you go on tour, you do the same thing, and that's so amazing. But I think there's going to come a point where maybe I want to take just a little bit longer in between. I have all these other things that I can also do that really interest me. Production, publishing, management.
Yeah, and she wasn't Barbie, we forget. She was the mermaid Barbie in Barbie. Perfect.
I wonder how much she got paid for that.
Me too. I'd love to, if someone knows, come forward with that.
Because
number.
Of course you get what's it called?
Well,
when you get like stratified pay after like a movie does well.
Oh, like back end?
Like, yeah, like back end. Like
the back end. But yeah, I think I guess it wouldn't, maybe it wouldn't be royalties, but no, it would be like, yeah, the like back end agreement.
Yeah, exactly.
But also she had the song. So was it like a handshake of like, well, you have the song. Like, why don't you come be in the movie for a little bit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It must be so much money. Yeah. So much money.
The song did well. I still hear the song.
I mean, that is what's paying for the trips around the world. My God.
Yeah.
And tonight they're heading to the Houdini Estate. Have you been? No. I've been for events there.
No, really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh my God.
Where fans are taking advantage of the open bar and dance floor, and she is making a grand entrance, ascending the spiral staircase to the song Houdini, her new hit.
Sounds sick.
Sounds sick. And then she's off, heading back towards the chateau and its ghosts and wherever else the night takes her, Brittany writes. And that's it. That's the end of the goddamn profile and the end of Dua Lipa's little promotional run of her latest album.
That's crazy.
The one that
I know
did okay.
Did okay. It did okay. But she remains in the zeitgeist.
It doesn't matter. She never leaves. She never leaves. And it's because she looks like this.
I know.
She kind of is like this. We're just fascinated by her flicking her hair and always
winking.
Winking.
And I believe that she reads books.
Sure.
I believe it. I don't think that. No one is forcing her to be into these things. I do think that she genuinely is intrigued by the world of film.
Yeah,
by the
I think she's
publishing
curious.
World. I think she's curious. I think that, you know, I think she has interests.
Do you think Callum Turner has interests?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know much about him.
Neither.
I don't know much about him.
I know nothing about him.
I know he's a cutie pie.
Yeah,
that's what I know.
I don't know. I think Harris is hotter.
Oh, yeah. Was Callum Turner in
Masters of Air?
Was he in 1980? No, 19. What's the war movie?
What do you mean?
What's he been in? What's
just
Callum
Masters
Turner
of
in?
Air?
Just that?
Yeah, the war.
Oh yeah.
Airplane.
Oh
movie.
My God, Fantastic Beasts. Oof.
Yeah, it's not a deep filmography.
No. He's in all of those, though. And Emma.
Oh, Emma.
The Jane Austen adaptation. The 2020 Jane Austen adaptation.
Oh. Who is he in Emma?
He is Frank Churchill.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of...
The starring role.
He's the starring role with Anya Taylor-Joy.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
So her Emma.
Okay, so that's his breakout.
Yeah. The Boy in the Boat. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
How old is he?
He is 34.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so he kind of is marrying age. He's like ready to lock it down.
6'2".
Okay.
His mom has a IMDb. Why is that?
Stop.
Let's see. Dua Lipa beamed in new Daily headline, Daily Mail headline. Dua Lipa beams while sharing sweet hug with new woman, I guess.
Yeah, from her New Year's Eve post, I'm sure. Not just aggregating from her Instagram itself.
Yeah. My God.
Good for them.
Good.
It's a slow news week.
Yeah.
Just like it is for us.
I know. It is. But I think we made the most of it. I really do. And I think we should learn a little something from Miss Lipa about how to go into the new year.
With lightness.
Nothing's the end of the world. It's fine if you're in debt. I know we started there, and that's a tough place to start.
It is a tough place to start. I will tell you one thing.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I was deeply in debt.
Yeah.
And Chris said to me, "You can't be in debt," quote. And I said, "If you say that, I will cry."
Yeah.
And I in fact did cry. And now I am not in debt.
Incredible.
No debt at all. No student loan. Not to brag. God.
No. That's so, it's so inspiring to hear.
It takes 10 years to fully change your life. And so there's no telling what another 5 years might bring any of us.
Yeah.
Just start. Start today.
So
start tomorrow.
So yeah. Nothing's the end of the world.
Go forth with lightness.
I love that. That'll go on the commandments.
Oh, we're reviving the commandments.
I mean, they just, the wisdom keeps coming. My God.
It really does.
Yeah.
And some of them are like super trite, but very true.
Very true. Like good to hear.
Yep.
Yeah.
My God, I'm happy to be back.
Me too, I have to say. I missed home.
What's a Dua Lipa lyric we can go out on?
70 best Dua Lipa lyrics to quote in your Instagram captions.
Okay, go. Hit me.
I did not post this.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Turn the rhythm up. Don't you want to just come along for the ride? oh, my outfit's so tight, you can see my heartbeat tonight. Reading some of these out loud is actually tough.
It's not good.
Never running out of juice. And tonight I'm alive ain't a dollar sign.
Like, looking at her songs, I can't think of a single one how they go.
No.
How does, like, Break My Heart go?
How does that go? Break, you can't play heart. It.
I just have to play a little bit, because otherwise I'm going to lose my mind. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay, here we go. Center of attention. You know you can get whatever you want from me. Whenever you want it, baby.
That's what we have for you.
Whenever you want it, baby. Center of attention. Center of attention. You can get whatever you want from us.
From us.
See you next week.
Bye.
That actually weirdly worked, yeah, I feel like.
Kind of did.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad, which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it? Crunchy wontons? Asian slaw? Citrus vinaigrette? Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Sensation Salad, only at Zaxby's.